special housing areas legislation shows little evidence of having stimulated additional housing and generated even less affordable housing. Research done by Professor Lawrence Murphy in Auckland and Dr. Bev James in Tauranga through the Building Better Homes, Towns and Cities National Science Challenge shows relatively few houses have been built in developments that were not already underway. Professor Murphy says while 35,000 consents were issued for SHAs in Auckland, only a couple of thousand buildings were actually built, and speeding up the planning didn't actually turn into more houses immediately. He joins me now. Is this sort of a disappointment?
Yes, I think when the Act was introduced, there was a belief that if you can reduce the planning system and speed it up the consent process, that we'd see this significant increase in output. And what the Special Housing Areas Act did was it did generate a lot more consents. It speeded up the consent process in these areas. But actually it showed that the production of housing still is quite a long, drawn-out process. It's problematic. It's subject to what the developers need for their own profit interests and for their own financial interests. So sometimes that can take a long time to produce commodities.
In hindsight, then, is the special housing area legislation a good idea at all?
I think what it's illustrated to us is that just assuming that if we provide a consent that people will build is problematic. There needs to be a whole suite of other ways in which we look at how do we provide houses. And the second element is there's an assumption that if you just build houses that they will be affordable, where in fact the houses that we are building are not necessarily affordable. So we need to look at how do we make them affordable.
It comes down to the legislation as well, does it not, in terms of what is the actual definition of an affordable house?
Yeah, that's one of the weaknesses of the definition. What we've focused on is how, in the Act, it's just like how do we decide that an area needs housing production? So we're looking at if it's unaffordable. And then when we talk about making something affordable, the Act assumes that if you just build houses, that it will be affordable. But under the SHAs, there's been this kind of an idea that you produce approximately up to 10% affordable housing, and that affordable housing is 75% of the median price. But in Auckland, the median price increased rapidly from 2013 to 2017. And so that meant that the measure of affordability, what is affordable, started to increase. And so consequently, it may not be meeting those people that we'd expect, the needs of those people who are kind of key workers, nurses, teachers, or whatever. Is this an entry-level accommodation for them?
Does the legislation need changing, or do we need to throw everything out and start again?
The Special Housing Area Act was primarily introduced to address the Auckland planning issue, that there was a switching to the new unitary plan. The new unitary plan is in effect, so possibly we don't need special housing areas anymore. But what we do need is greater attention given to how does the state provoke or encourage affordable housing. And there are different mechanisms by which you can do that. And one of those internationally in places like England and the USA and elsewhere, they've used inclusionary housing policies where the planning permission requires that you include some form of affordable housing. And that is determined in relation to people's incomes and that it is also potentially retained. And if it's retained affordable, that we have agencies such as community housing providers who could be the owners of those properties.
Does it also come down to prefabricated housing?
Yeah, I think definitely there's a role for changing the way in which we produce houses and the costs associated with housing. But what you find is that if you have a high price area and you are providing housing, even rapidly housing, the prices are set by the existing market. If you release houses on the market for 200,000 less than the neighbourhood, over time those prices will increase. The value of those buildings will increase because that's the going price. So even if you reduce costs, those costs will either be taken up by people either through land values increasing or through the developer's profit increasing or through the first owner selling. So there needs to be increasingly the way in which land is released or way in which we require some form of provision of affordability in private developments.
So really, it's not a new model needed for attracting developers because they're not going to do something that makes them less money. It almost sounds like we need an agency whose mandate is not to make money and, in fact, probably lose money.
There's actually two ways of looking at it. One of the reasons, what I've been arguing, is that house prices are often capitalized in the land value. And so landowners make a lot of value on a greenfield site because we change the zoning practices. And what's happened in overseas areas and development of urban development authorities, etc., is that if you control the growth of the land value, you can still make a profit in the development process, still make profits that are acceptable to the industry and development, and you can still provide affordable housing, but all you've done is restrict what's called the value uplift that responds to changing the zoning of an area.
I know we've got Kiwi Build, supposedly, yep. That may or may not be happening. Is there any hope for those on lower incomes really to get into the housing market?
Yeah, well, I think if the idea is just that we just build a lot of houses and release them to the market, I think that the market is very good at producing market prices, and that's what it's excellent at doing. That doesn't guarantee that people on low income can get houses. I think the scheme needs to be innovative in how it engages with the development profit to developers to ensure they have profit, but also addresses how much we're paying for the land. And I think with Kiwi Build, they can mobilise their resources of Crown land in ways that allow them to actually ensure that there is a provision for affordable housing.
Professor Lawrence Murphy, thank you.
Thank you.